Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I am your host, Annie F. Downs, and I am so glad to be here with you today. Happy summer. I hope you are having a great start to your June. I love June. I think it's super fun, probably because my birthday is coming in July, July 7th. Don't worry, we're going to party. But I just love June. I think it's fun. I'm working a lot on this new book, head down during the day, but trying to get out and see my friends and see the sunshine a lot too, because I love summer. So I hope you are getting to do the same. In the background, as usual, is our sweet friend Ellie Holcomb, and her new album, Red Sea Road, is one of the records that is on repeat as I am writing right now. I hope you are enjoying it as well. In January, I got to go to Haiti to visit the My Life Speaks nonprofit organization that is in Nepali. And I went with my friend Lisa Harper and her daughter Missy and my lovely assistant Eliza, who you guys know and love. I'd spent a lot of time with Lisa Harper before that, but man, being in a third world country will make you besties real quick. I've loved Lisa's work and her writing for a really long time. She's an incredibly good speaker, incredibly profound Bible teacher. I'm just such a huge fan. And while we were in Haiti, we actually spoke at a women's conference. So to get to travel with her and speak with her and get to watch how she handles people so beautifully and handles the word of God so beautifully was such a huge honor. Lisa has a new book coming out called The Sacrament of Happy, What a Smiling God Brings to the Wounded World. And listen, she is really, really fun. And today's podcast, I think you're going to love, because not only do you get amazingly fun Lisa Harper, but also in and out of here is her sweet little 7-year-old daughter, Missy Harper, who you can see a lot on Lisa's Instagram. So that is who is in the studio with me today. Lisa, Missy, and I sit down, talk about all sorts of things, including her new book, The Sacrament of Happy. Welcome to the That Sounds Fun podcast.
This is so fun.
It's cool, right?
It's a great really little booth. Cool.
I mean, I think we're about 2 months from you deciding you need your own podcast. It's
fun. I think I will just come and be a regular with you because I think it's too much pressure.
Oh, I'd love it.
But I love this. Like, this is much cooler than I expected. I don't really know what I expected. I expected more traditional studio.
Right. I mean, it's just a box.
We are in a container with egg crate stuff.
Yes, right.
This is
awesome.
I
know. Two microphones and black egg crates and black walls.
This is awesome.
Welcome to it. It's really fun.
It's very
submarine-ish. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
so
yeah, because the lights are kind of blue.
Uh-huh.
We have one door out.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Except luckily we're not surrounded
by
sharks.
If we had some great 80s ballads, we could have a major dance party in here with maybe three people.
Okay, have you done the silent disco thing yet? Have you heard
Please
of this?
Please tell me no, but this would make me so happy.
Everyone wears their own headphones and hears their own music.
Oh,
but everyone's at the same party.
Okay, no, this makes me so happy. I don't know what to do. Because I would so
like entire
be having...
youth groups are doing it.
Oh, no, that's
where everybody,
awesome.
Maybe there's like four channels you can tune into, or there's something where like the
With
room
like,
is silent.
Like wireless beats.
Yes.
And you've got your iPod
yes.
in your pocket or whatever.
Yes. You just have the headphones on and it just tunes into the.
Oh,
so
no,
maybe
that,
you pick.
No, that's awesome.
I feel like you. I haven't done one, obviously. You dial in. Our friend
let's
Kyle Chowning, Kyle and Christy
have
them all the time.
Okay, let's have it.
And
okay,
that's
that
so fun.
Because I love to dance, but
yes.
I'm not. Very rhythmic, and so.
But no one
helped.
Will hear the music.
That's
you're
what
hearing.
I was going to say. I can say you just didn't hear my offbeat music I was listening to from Scandinavia.
I love that our friends listening are going to hear Missy just giggling in the background, just enjoying being
this
here.
This is homeschool homework for the day.
Okay,
this is actually a geometry game.
Oh, cool!
If you can believe it, it's called Geometry Light.
How did you decide how to homeschool? Like, how did you decide what she needed to learn?
Oh, law.
Do you have someone that helps you?
Well, no. I was very particular mm-hmm. in the beginning and wanted to make sure I did it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first week, I had to pray about not having a margarita before noon
mm-hmm.
because it was so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met with a ton of experts,
yeah.
used a bunch of different curriculums, and saw what fit her.
Right.
And then after about 2 weeks, decided I needed to hire a math tutor because I'm evidently the worst math teacher in the world.
Okay.
And then once I kind of augmented and
yeah.
we have one curriculum. She's great at language.
Yeah.
She actually has gotten really very proficient at math. She's a little bit ahead of herself because of this math tutor
mm-hmm.
who's amazing and who I owe my life to and whose name is tattooed on my ankle. and then the other things we're augmenting next year, we're hybridizing. So
oh,
two
cool.
days a week, she'll be in an all-day school atmosphere.
I'm such a fan of those schools for homeschool
they're
families.
Awesome. They're awesome. So all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, mm-hmm. she'll be in. And they do like the cool science experiments.
That's right.
Where they do the volcanoes That's and the right. rockets. And they do once she gets to anatomy, they'll do the dissection, which is so nasty.
Which
I'm glad I don't have to
know.
Do that.
Owl
in
pellets.
Our kitchen.
I mean, how many times did you do owl pellets in middle school?
I didn't do owl pellets.
You didn't do owl pellets?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Do you mean owl pellets like uh-huh. baby owls?
No.
Like
poop.
Owl. Oh, no. No,
yeah,
that
you,
just kind of made me throw up a little bit in my
right?
mouth. No,
it's
that's awful.
That's awful.
No,
you don't have to do that at home.
We did baby pigs and baby pigs. I think we may have. I don't think we did kittens. Our anatomy teacher was way
that's
into
so
it.
That's so sad.
That's right. Got to get that in
oh,
there.
Oh, that's great that she'll go 2 days a week.
Yeah, it is because she's in a couple of gymnastics classes. She has some great, and I mean, you've been around her. Socialization mm-hmm. is not going to be our downfall.
That's right.
She is an extrovert. But I just feel like classroom settings are critical.
That's sure.
I learn better when I have kind of that cross-pollination.
Yeah.
And she's similar. And so she does great with when we're just, I just now do English. So
yeah.
I do stories, I do language, I do, you know, we jump on the trampoline and I actually am doing geography. So.
Yeah.
So she might get lost when she gets older. But
have you seen, do you know my friends, the Harrises have this and my friends, the Hodges, they have this huge map of the U.S. that's a puzzle?
Yeah. Well, we've got the massive map that's decals of the U.S. and the world in our playroom. And one is right next to a mini tramp. And what I do is I put, you know, the little stickies of everywhere we're going. So she actually is pretty sharp at the U.S.
Yeah.
And she can tell you where Australia is and where London is and all the places we're going.
Yeah.
And so no. I mean, we have the puzzle, but not the great big one.
Yeah, it's like as big. I mean, it's probably.
It goes on the wall.
No, it goes on the floor. It's on the floor probably.
Oh, okay.
3 feet long and
I have
2 feet
seen
high.
That. I have seen that.
So I thought I was really good at America. But I knew the middle threw me off, but I could do west and east and south.
Yeah.
But me and a four-year-old. Working that puzzle, he was like, "Where does Indiana go?" And I was like, "Here," and like just circled the center. I mean, I could not.
The center's tough. The
it's
center's
hard.
Tough because when she was doing it, because now she can do all the states. She's not as great with the Northwest, but everything else she can do.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, "Mama, what is this?" And I'll be like, "Virginia." So I'm just like you. Southeast I've got, Northeast I've got. And then all the
capital
states.
Yeah. It's just where they are in the middle. That middle section.
Yeah. The middle section
is
tough.
I just didn't spend enough time there.
No,
middle section needs to bring me out more because
it's like
I'm just
Nebraska, Oklahoma. They could, surely you can interchange them.
And here's the truth about our lives. Like, I just take a plane. This isn't 50 years ago where we took cars and you followed it on the map. I mean, I just sit down and do my work for 2.5 hours and then I get off when it stops.
And surprise, you're there.
Yeah.
And what I'm planning on next, because she's seen so much of the world, but she hasn't seen all the rest areas.
Yeah.
And so I think next summer we're renting an RV. I think it'll be like
just
Chevy Chase all over again.
Yes.
Because I think that would be a blast.
Why
Don't you think
not?
It would be so much fun?
Oh, my gosh. It'd be so fun.
Yeah. And a little bit horrific, which you need in childhood memories.
Right. You've got to have a childhood vacation where you go like,
that's right.
That was awful and the best.
Yeah.
Like,
awful,
that's the one
and
we'll always talk about.
It.
That's exactly right.
I almost killed my aunt and her husband and her two kids when they were little. And it's their, we went to the Grand Canyon and I had run it because I used to do biathlons and used to be in shape 30
What's
pounds
a biathlon?
Ago.
Running and biking?
Running and biking.
Okay.
And when I was in, I used to live in Colorado and was in, you know, very, very good shape because everybody was. And anyway, I had run this trail in the Grand Canyon that's like 13 miles down, 13 miles back out. And I thought, oh, yeah, your kids will. It is so much fun. You go down to this waterfall. It's iridescent blue. Talked them into coming all the way from Florida to this Grand Canyon adventure. Told them, oh, she said, are you sure they can do it? They're only 8 and 11. I was like, oh, yeah, easy. It'll be easy. Well, what I didn't take into account was I'd done it in March when the weather was, I don't know, in the high 80s.
Yeah.
We did it in the end of June when the weather was 115.
Oh my
gosh. It's one of the hottest spots in the country.
Right.
And of course we've got backpacks going down the Grand Canyon. We get to the bottom, and of course, I hadn't thought when it's hot, the waterfall drives up. So, you know, I told them,
no.
It's so worth the trail. It's amazing. You get down there. And it was so horrible. They ended up, and there's no car travel. There's only the Havasupai Indian tribe lives down in reservation down there. The only way out is either helicopter for medical emergency, or you ask one of these gracious Havasu Indians if you can pay to use one of their horses or donkey to take you up out of the canyon. Yes. And so my aunt, her husband, my Uncle Dale, who's so kind, he had just north of a heat stroke, like serious medical condition. My aunt was sobbing, crying, bribed a man to take her 8-year-old out of the canyon because she thought the whole family was going to die at the bottom. And I was like,
y'all are going to be that family that eats each other.
Expansion. Yes, yes. But then they end up now, both kids are now grown with their own kids. Uh-huh. And you know, all they talk about is, we want to go back to the Havasu Pike. Yeah, because at 8 and 11, that was like the grandest adventure of their life.
Yes.
And my aunt still holds a grudge. Like, I can't even look at her when she talks about it because I'm like, I feel so terrible. But it was a blast.
Yeah.
And so I want Missy to have
I went with my godparents. We drove from Louisiana. When I was in eighth grade. We drove from Louisiana to Montana, Wyoming and back. And I slept through Colorado both ways, eighth grade, right? Puberty, growing up.
Yeah.
You need a lot of sleep.
Yeah,
I slept
through
Colorado both ways. But, I mean, it's the same. It's one of those where you're like, did I really ride in a car from from the bottom of America to the top of America?
I know.
But it's a great memory.
You didn't. It's like back then, you didn't do seatbelts. You, like, slept in the back of the car, laid up on the, the dash. I mean, it's crazy. My dad drove us. My mom always wanted to go see the leaves change in North Carolina. We lived in Florida. There were no leaves. And so every year, about October, we would go up to North Carolina for a long weekend to see the leaves change. One year, my dad decided it would be a good idea for him to just build this whoppy-jawed, like little, it was like a little cape over the back of his truck. And since I was in high school, it made sense for me to lie in the back of the truck on a cot because the front of the truck only had three people really comfortably. So my little brother was wild. They knew he'd jump out of the back.
Right.
So I am like 16 years old in the back of a truck. It's major redneck microdermabrasion. I rode in the back of a truck. I'm like, that is illegal. Surely that's illegal. From Florida to North Carolina.
Did you just read a book back there? What'd you do?
I think I journaled and talked about how hard my life was.
Yeah.
Sad music.
Listen to Missy. She's like, you think your life was hard then, Mom?
No.
Well, you didn't know. Because I was coming.
I was coming, and I was going to wear you slap out, Mama.
I was when you slapped out when you were little. Because when I was little, I was like.
Speaking of being worn slap out, I think we should talk about Haiti and your experience.
Oh, listen. Do you know, I looked at some pictures a couple of days ago. I was like, you know what? That wasn't so bad. And I was like, Annie. It was. It really was. But I know we did.
You can't be so loud.
Of course she can. It's us.
Really, like,
of course she can.
Godly.
She just said closer.
You know what? You know what? Tell Miss Annie fruit of the spirit, because then she'll think I'm a really good homeschooling mama.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Let's hear them.
Fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then Galatians 5:22-23.
And she did that the whole time she was playing Geometry Light game on her iPad.
Oh, wow. Right. So everyone should know she's double time and she's learning.
That's right. Very biblical and very good at math.
Very good at math and dancing. Dancing while she does it too.
Kind of trashy dancing. I told her Jesus doesn't like that. That's not worship dancing. She says it's her worship.
It's in her heart. She can't help it.
Yeah.
She cannot help it.
I know.
We did go to Haiti. And it was just different than I expected. I just needed, the first time you go somewhere third world, it's just
you need to
different.
Know they don't have blow dryers.
Yeah, you just need to know they don't have blow dryers. I've said to Missy, just tell people they don't have blow dryers.
Your face in Haiti that second day when we're all sitting around in those little plastic chairs watching the kids play. And it's like you had just decided, okay, this is my lot in life. And you were so kind. And it was so hot in January that all of us just had sweat trickling down our faces. And I love her now with my whole heart.
I know, right? It did.
Because you were such a team player.
Oh, well.
I mean, you really are an amazing sport.
Well, I think with preparation and information, I could do it again in some time.
And Pepto-Bismol.
I mean, we can't underestimate the parasite situation that I experienced. I mean, all night long. I can't tell you how many times I've said to people, like, you understand I was the only person awake all night long.
Yeah.
Except one bodyguard. He was asleep the two times I had to wake him up.
And didn't speak
great English. And told me to give him money and he would get me a Coke. And I was like, listen, I can't feel this. This cannot be the way things are supposed to happen at 3 a.m. in Haiti.
That's right. And the bathroom is, I guess we could call it primitive.
Yes, sure, certainly. It is way better than a lot of people in that country.
It is way better than a hole.
Yeah, you want to tell us about the bathroom in Haiti? Come on, come over here and tell us about the bathroom in Haiti.
Trashy.
It's
very trashy.
It was.
I don't like it.
No, you did not like that bathroom.
I don't like Holmes.
Yeah.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
I don't like Haiti's bathroom.
No, did you like, here, come closer. Do you like hotel bathrooms?
Yes.
Yes.
So you can just sleep there.
In the bathroom? No, in the bed of the hotel. Did you like the food we ate in Haiti, though? That was good.
Yes, ma'am. It was very good.
Yeah, and you got to see people you really love, like Aunt Fifi, yeah?
Yes, ma'am. Sometimes I do this.
Oh, you close your eyes and go to sleep.
That's what I do, like, Sally.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. It was fun, and you made friends while we were in Haiti, too, and you hung out with some little girls that were your age, too.
Yes, ma'am.
It was so fun. What's been the processing been like since y'all been back, Lisa? Like, that was her first time being in Haiti since you adopted her.
Yeah, and I was really anxious. You know, I had several people thought the main reason we went, and I told you that early, I brought her home 3 years ago from Haiti. And it was tough the last 9 months in Haiti, very, very tough. She was at a place where, because Missy has HIV, some of the people who worked with her, the caregivers, just didn't have the luxury of an education. So they thought if they touched Missy, they would contract HIV and then it would transmit to AIDS and they'd die.
Right.
And so she was not well loved at all. By the way, listeners, she's wearing headphones now, so she can't hear us. And I was hesitant to take her back because I didn't want to re-traumatize her. But her Aunt Fifi, who you mentioned, who took care of Missy and loved her so well after Missy's first mom and dad of AIDS, has ovarian cancer. And I thought, I can't live with the fact that I don't have her see Fifi at least one more time.
Mm-hmm. And Fifi. Let Fifi see her.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it's probably as much for Fifi.
Yeah, and so you know, we prayed about it. I go to a Christian counselor on a pretty regular basis just to keep it relatively in between the lines.
Listen, you and me both, sister, tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock.
Praise Jesus, I will spend all my shoe money
I will buy my counselor a boat if she wants one.
I told her, I said, I am job security for you, baby.
That's right.
But we did some play therapy. She knows Missy and has worked with Missy some, and she said, you know, I think she's going to be okay because she's so secure. Mm-hmm. And because she was loved by Fifi, Missy very quickly, compared to most adoptive kids, bonded with me when I first started going down to Haiti. So she said, I think she's okay, even though she's only 7. I think she's secure enough. Wait just a minute to put your headphones back on because we're talking secret, private adult stuff. Thank you, Toots. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
She did say, she'll say, Mama, I don't like to potty. And I'm like, I know, honey, neither do I. But she loved every other part of Haiti. Yeah. And, you know, we're going back in 2 weeks.
What? I didn't know that.
We are going
Weird
back in 2 weeks.
Weird you didn't invite me. How surprising.
I just wanted to give you a bye.
Thank you. Yeah.
Listen, I know.
Call me once
to bring
a year.
You to Haiti in the summer. So you'll go back with us in January.
That's right. What are y'all going for in 2 weeks?
Well, you know, it bugs me to hawk books. Uh-huh. And so I have a book coming out and publishers were saying, you know, we want you to talk about it. And I said, I'm not. It's gross. It gags me to pitch stuff, which is, of course, why I'm on your podcast.
This actually releases the week your book comes out.
But I said, could we attach it to something that's a little more just not about selling a book. Yeah.
Sure.
And so we came up with the So Happy hashtag, S-O-W, happy.
Oh, wow.
And we're building a garden. So we're going back to that village
you
were in,
Nepali.
We've leased 5 acres of land right over by where you and I walked.
We've
got 5 more acres over in that part.
Where they're moving the new area?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. And we are building. They've already started plowing the ground and everything, but we are building a 5-acre garden to help sustain, because that village is only 2,000 people.
Right.
So a 5-acre garden could feasibly feed almost the whole village as far as vegetables.
Sure.
And some protein. We're growing, you know, some things that will have protein.
Yeah.
They obviously still need chicken and fresh water and eggs and all kinds of stuff. No more jumping toots. And so we're going back for 3 days because I said I don't really want to be here when the book, not that it would cause that much of a stir, but I'd much rather, instead of doing interviews with, you know, radio stations, I'd much rather be in Haiti actually doing something that is
toiling.
Yeah. And so we're going back and she's excited and I'm excited except for the fact that I'm fluffy. And anytime I'm overweight and I go to Haiti, oh golly, you know, it's like I almost start forest fires because of the whole upper thigh issue. So I'm going to try to lose 40 pounds between
in 2 weeks.
And you think it's
best
possible?
Of luck. Yeah, totally. I mean, people have done weirder stuff, but I wouldn't recommend
paleo
it.
Paleo makes me hateful. Oh. Makes me hateful. I get so hangry.
One of my favorite Instagram follows this morning, and she's like a healthy live-in girl.
Yeah.
And she said, I did 16 days of Whole30, and I hate it. I'm stopping.
Yeah.
She was like, I did the best I could. And I'm healthy, and I haven't. My skin is worse. I mean, she went through all these, like, sometimes you listen to your body.
Right.
And my body is not happy.
My body is really happy when I have Starbucks and when I have some bread and preferably drenched in olive oil.
That's right.
A couple of chips in queso every day.
That's right. All stuff you're going to find easily in Nepali. Good luck.
Absolutely. Here's the deal. I think that when the end of times comes, I'm going to last.
Yeah.
So all these little Whole30 people are going to be crying. Come to my house.
And
I'm
going to
be
like,
sorry. Listen. Sorry. Sorry,
I tried to tell you to eat a Chick-fil-A more.
This was all about Jesus, baby. Sorry for you.
Okay. So y'all are building a huge garden down there.
Isn't that cool?
That's amazing. So will Missy go with you?
Missy's going with me. Okay. She's gonna dig and plant. You know, she's a little bit of a diva, so she'll be like, Mama, I hot. I'm like, yes, baby, it's Haiti.
She's breathing heavy already, getting ready for it.
It's sad
it's
and
really sweaty,
sweaty
there. Yep.
We're going to build a garden. She's going with me. A couple of girls from Lifeway are going.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're calling it the Happy Grove.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. Isn't it cool? Well, they said, you know, we'll name it after Missy. I was like, she's 7. That would be weird. So
she doesn't need to be Grand Central of the parade or whatever it's called.
She doesn't need a brand.
Right.
But they were just doing it to be gracious.
Of course, yeah.
And so, no, we're really, really excited. And I, you know, Annie, I want her to see that life isn't all about getting what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
I want her to know.
I think that's what you tried to teach me and Haiti as well.
And it stuck, didn't it?
It stuck. I believed you.
I believed you. I know. That's why we're going to give you a year before we invite you to
come back.
That's
right. And I'll bring more tank tops.
And you and Missy,
and
we
I'll
can just bring a little portable potty for the
that's
two
right,
of you.
That's right. The two of us. And some fans. I'll bring some more fans.
Well, you know, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
I always bring a little Brookstone portable fan.
Yes.
And that keeps me from saying bad words.
How's it going to be? Are you excited to see Fifi again and see the family?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they all know y'all are coming.
They do. We actually remember the program for them to have jobs.
Yeah.
We got Fifi and Grandmama a job. And
I'm
not sure what they're doing, but I'm going to get to observe them at their job.
That's awesome.
And, you know, that's the thing about, to me, helping people in third world countries. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, that's right.
It really doesn't take much. And I don't mean to
And money
like
isn't
a,
always or
no,
often the answer.
No,
jobs,
no,
gardens.
That's right. That's right.
Helping them provide
and
for
so,
themselves and teaching.
Yeah, so we're real excited. And you remember Missy's half-brother and half-sister,
mm-hmm.
who I initially
the
wanted
teenagers.
To protect her from. That's right. We're bringing them some educational stuff and then kind of processing a little further, trying to get her half-brother to the States in a couple of years on an educational visa.
Oh, that's amazing.
Visa, yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I mean, I told you, he really convicted me that, you know, your child's birth mother was not Parisian or Hawaiian. She's Haitian.
Right.
And so part of the really just his redemption in Missy's life and her being so healthy is to go back and to sow into the place where mm-hmm. in his sovereignty she was born, where she grew up as a baby. And so we will always go to Haiti. I wish it was not quite so hot.
Sure.
And every now and then I wish for a better bathroom situation.
Sure.
But I'm being mostly silly.
Yeah,
it's
not bad.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And y'all are with My Life Speaks. That's who you
That's
partner
right.
with down there,
That's
which
right.
I think is, I want people to know that how much we support
oh,
Mike and
amazing.
Missy Wilson and what they do down there. And
yeah.
I mean, they've just, I love, one of the things that I learned while we were there that I thought was just amazing is Mike and Missy don't have this, like, let's change Haiti and make Haiti totally different.
Uh-uh.
They're like, no, we moved into this neighborhood.
That's right.
And we just want to be a part of this neighborhood. And how
That's
can
right.
we help? Well, the kids need food, so let's do lunch.
That's right.
And the young men want to play soccer. Let's build a field.
That's right.
And, you know, like, they aren't, it's just a really beautiful model of, like,
it is.
Don't act like you're the white savior on a
That's
horse.
Right. That's
Move
right.
into the neighborhood
That's
and
right.
see what the neighborhood,
it's,
how can you help
so
the neighborhood?
It's so holistic.
Yeah.
Because they have, of course, incredible plans, but
mm-hmm.
they are flexible in that if this isn't working, you know, they were like, oh, these Americans came down years ago and spent tons of money building
mm-hmm.
a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, they don't play basketball.
Right.
So basically, it's just a big slab of cement that nobody uses.
Right.
And they're like, talk to Haitians. Say, what do y'all need? What would
right.
help? So, yeah, I do love, there's a respect mm-hmm. in the way they work mm-hmm. in that village, the way they hire Haitians.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is moving into the neighborhood going, we're just going to change where we
yeah.
live.
Yeah.
And that's not just Haiti. That's Nashville. That's yeah. wherever God's
yeah.
popped you.
Someone recently asked me if I was ever going to move out of Nashville. And I just, you know, I have 400 answers for that. But one of them, I think no.
Mm-hmm.
I think no, because I really want to be part of
That's right.
building a happy Grove in Nashville.
That's right. Me
right?
too.
Like, I want my neighbor, I want to look at what my neighborhood needs
yeah.
and be a part of that and
yeah.
try to figure that out. So yeah, how
amen,
can, like,
amen.
Can we give seeds? Can we, is there a way people can partner with So Happy? Because I would love to do something.
You know, I want to say yes. It's just starting. The way right now it's connected is for every book that of the new book I have coming out
uh-huh.
is sold. Then a portion of the proceeds goes to the Happy Grove.
Great.
And so it's all connected.
Super.
So
that that's so
most
smart.
Of the profits of the book or a large portion will go back to Haiti.
Yeah.
And so so that's how you do it. But you can go to, gosh, Annie, I'm sorry, I think it's, the book is called The Sacrament of Happy. And I want to say, if you just go to Lifeway, mm-hmm. The Sacrament of Happy, there's actually a website now. I should know what it is. But
here's the best part.
Don't.
You're going to love this. I have an intern turned employee named Hale, like Frozen Rain.
Okay.
And what we pay Hale to
Hale.
Do is she listens to the podcast and she pulls all the links and puts
awesome.
Them.
Oh, awesome.
So we like to give
Thank
her
you,
one detective mystery every episode
awesome.
That where the guest
okay.
or I go,
awesome.
I don't know who that awesome. Person's name was. And so
all
your,
Hale researcher,
so,
Hale.
Yes.
Thank you, Hale.
So
yeah.
Hale will put the correct cool. link to the website
cool.
on, we'll have it on the iTunes link on our, as well as on our,
oh, good.
On the blog.
Oh, good. Thank
so
you.
So it'll go straight to
cool.
It's
cool
the
things.
Best part. It's the funniest thing for us to do to Hale because I'm always like, oh, this will be, we're like, there was like a soccer stadium that burned in 1974.
I love those.
And then we're like, good luck, Hale.
I actually love, though, digging for those things.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's fun. I get like that. If I'm studying scripture, I always love cultural things.
Yes.
And I'm like, I remember there was a woman who died, and that
uh-huh.
was the significance with the rabbi, but Missy's not up yet for the
yeah.
research.
Okay, I'm going to put you, she will be. I have been so distracted lately in scripture about Myrtle. Have you read anything about Myrtle or studied Myrtle?
Myrtle?
I know, it's super weird.
I have no
weird.
Idea what you're talking about.
In Isaiah 55,
yeah.
it says that, when it says that his word won't return void.
Right.
And then it says he will trade, that where thorn bushes grow,
right.
well, instead, myrtle will blossom.
Myrtle will blossom.
And I was like, well, that's why, because why myrtle? And then everywhere, it's
Goodness
only in the Bible
gracious,
like a handful
that's
of
a
times.
Great question. No, I've never
it's
studied
fascinating.
That.
I bought myrtle oil. I was like, I'm going in on myrtle because it's in ancient Greece, all the women used it in their wedding crowns.
Right.
Because it's about your body being balanced.
Is there another word for that? Because, you know, sometimes there will be a word for it, or it'll be, you'll think that's a fig. And it's like, actually, in the Greek, that translates to pomegranate.
No, everywhere it's myrtle.
It's all myrtle.
Mm-hmm. It's and it's like only like
what
seven
is that
times.
Now? What would the herb be now or the fruit be now?
It's still called myrtle.
Still myrtle.
Yeah.
I wonder if crepe myrtle is
connected
it is
connected the same. Let me. We can look right now on the Bible app and look. It is the same myrtle. It is not crepe myrtle because
okay.
when you look up crepe myrtle, it doesn't have the same like
Latin okay.
plant. So
okay.
we'll just.
Well, and you know that when you go to Israel, there are so many things that are incredibly significant that we don't realize. You don't realize they don't have hardwoods there. So the olive
right.
trees, of course, they wouldn't tear down because they need it for the olives. That's much more valuable than the wood. There's things that when you see it, you go, oh, it was really arid. So
mm-hmm.
when God says you're a tree transplanted, I mean, planted by the water, it actually means transplanted. He moves us to
right.
a place that fruits or that there's sustenance there. So there's
right.
got to be something significant to that he did replace
right.
it with myrtle.
With myrtle, right?
That's a
and
big,
so
big
one
deal.
Of the original languages of it is the same as Esther's name.
No,
right?
That's awesome.
Right?
That's
so
awesome.
Esther. So this one is, I don't know how to say it,
and
HADAC.
You found myrtle oil.
Yeah,
See,
myrtle oil is one
myrtle.
Of the young living oils.
Okay.
I don't even sell it. If you know someone
well, you
who
know,
sells it,
I
buy it
actually,
from them. But.
Frankincense is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I have
and
frankincense
expensive
oil.
Too.
It is very expensive oil.
Someone the other week told me, like, I rub frankincense on my feet every night.
Yeah.
I was like, must be nice to be rich. I'm rubbing olive oil on my feet every night. So
when you said myrtle, my little brother had a turtle when he was little named Myrtle.
Yeah.
Myrtle the turtle. And he rolled over on it in the night because he got myrtle out of the you know,
he
the little glass
Myrtle
thing,
in
slept
bed.
With Myrtle and killed Myrtle. Oh. And none of us had the heart to tell him he had murdered Myrtle. So when you said Myrtle, I thought, how did she know that about our family? Like, that's a secret. My little brother is 45 years old, and he doesn't know still to this day that he killed Myrtle.
And I don't know that he listens to the That Sounds Fun podcast, so I think you're going to be all right.
Well, I thought, I don't know. Since you said Hale was such a great researcher, I thought maybe she found this
she
somewhere
may
in our family
it. Oh my gosh,
lore,
she
and that's
did.
Why you brought up Myrtle.
No. I just purely
was
asking.
No, I'll look at it, though.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Do you have Logos?
No,
Bible
I
software.
Use blue. No, my mom.
Yeah, blue letter Bible.
Yeah, I use blue letter Bible.
Well, Logos slays me.
Okay,
and it will have. It's like, you know, 500 Hales gathered in one place. They've got best research. So I'll look it up.
Yeah,
there
I just think it's so interesting that
it's
like
very
why
interesting.
Why are we replacing thorn bushes with myrtle? And I know it is. It does
but there
grow
will
in
be
the
something
Middle
East. To it.
But
there
yeah,
will
there
be
has
something
to
be
because the Lord wouldn't keep using it. Mm-hmm. And it's the I don't hold me to this, but I think it's the same myrtle. Or the thorn bush, one of the two is the one from Exodus, too, from what burned.
Oh, the thorn
burned.
Bush is from Exodus. Yeah, I do know that.
Yeah. So it's just all very interesting.
Don't you love that there are it's not a fairy tale. It's not a book of metaphor. It is historical. I love the historicity of Scripture because you can look it up and go, oh, there was a reason behind that.
Yes.
Or there was color behind that. There's something in that narrative that actually we can find more truth out of that's redemptive for us today. Yeah. I love studying things
and people
like that
so
scripture.
Jump, and I do too, jump to God's word won't return void, what he puts out. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, and I think it's just one of the fun parts of being in relationship with the Lord is that when you stay in scripture, he goes, hey, look at that.
Oh,
look at that word. And then all of a sudden I'm like, Myrtle.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why Myrtle. And then I spend literally, Lisa, 2 weeks thinking about Myrtle,
but Annie,
ordering the oil.
But it'll also change your life.
Right.
I remember the first time, you know, in it's one of those real familiar passages, like his word won't return void in the Mount of Transfiguration. And we've read that a bazillion times. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, I'm reading that, and it just struck me that, oh my goodness, that's supposedly on where you've been, Mount Hermon, or at least an adjacent mountain, northern shore Sea of Galilee. And there is Moses, transfigured next to Jesus. And it always so bugged me that Moses didn't make it in to the promised land.
Yeah.
And here he is, centuries later, glorified next to a radiant Jesus. And you go, oh, he did make it in.
He made it in. I've never thought about that.
But the first time he made it in, he's not in his sweaty jar clay body with 3 million, you know, fussy Israelites. He's next to a radiant Redeemer. Mm-hmm. And that's, you've been to Israel. That is the most scenic point. You can see the entire Sea of Galilee from there.
It's unbelievable.
And you go, if we could interview Moses today, let's say he's on the podcast and you said,
I'm trying. He just will not return our emails.
He's not returning emails. He'll get around to it. He's pretty busy. But you know, you said, Mo, would you rather go in your jar of clay body with all those fussy Israelites, or door number two, you get to stand next to Jesus,
right?
Because God isn't bound by time and space. But I just remember seeing that. I was in Starbucks, and that was a parallel passage. I can't remember what I was studying. And it was that, you know, it's like, good night, I've read this a thousand times.
Right.
And missed every time. I mean, I saw that Moses was there, and that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, that's a big deal. I'd never thought he's in the middle of the promised land.
Right.
So he made it in the most glorious conditions.
I have never thought about that ever.
Well, to me, that proves that Romans 8:28 is not hyperbolic. Right. That everything ultimately does work out for our good and for his glory. But that's the thing that's cool to me about scripture is it's not flat. It's multifaceted.
Yeah.
And it's supernatural. But it also, there's things like that you'll dig and you'll go, oh my goodness, this is fresh for me today.
Yeah.
You have known this since I was a kid and saw it flannel graphed, but it's fresh for me
it's
today.
It's real. Yeah. We have a lot of friends who email me that listen to the podcast that are kind of getting started reading their Bibles and are kind of new to it. And I just always want to say, like, start wherever. Like, start Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because it's the real, it's like an easy thing.
Sure.
But like, God's not going to let you miss him.
Uh-uh.
You can start. I wouldn't start in Deuteronomy.
Right. Or Leviticus.
Right.
I'd probably,
but
I'd
I just
probably
think,
go
man,
back
man, you
to
can
those.
Go to the Psalms, and he's he is going to show you something that you did not
That's
know
right.
before you sat
That's
down.
Right. Well, and most of it is narrative. Mm-hmm. It's a story. It's not just a story. It's a love story.
Right.
And we tend to think it's systematic theology, and I'm like, nope, that's a small part. Most of it, you can insert yourself in the drama. You go, oh, my goodness, this perfect king condescends to fall in love with this messy bride, and you see that reiterated over and over and over again.
Yeah. I've been kind of stuck in Colossians a little bit. A friend and I had a really long conversation about Colossians the other day, randomly.
Yeah.
And now, and it does that thing. I texted him afterwards. I said, I'm stuck in Colossians. I can't get out.
Yeah.
Because now all I'm thinking about is how the fullness of God was in Jesus.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for us? And what do we know about God? What do we not know about God? And what is left to be revealed about God if the fullness is in Jesus?
That's
and how
right.
do, I mean, I can't. It's spinning.
I know.
It's spinning.
But
and you
don't
go,
you love spinning?
Yeah, that's
because
the way I want
to
be.
Because I used to, when I was younger, I think, I mean, and nobody ever taught me this that I know tacitly, but I thought the harder I study and the, you know, more Bible study blanks I fill in, I'll learn all of this eventually, mm-hmm. almost as if it was linear
yeah.
or didactic.
Like you're going to graduate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then now I'm 53 years old, been a believer since I was Missy's age, and I go, it's God is more mysterious to me now than he has ever been in the most wonderful way.
Right.
I'm not always
and it's
looking
not scary.
For answers. No.
Right.
No, it's wonderful. And who wants a God that they can totally comprehend?
Right.
You know, if
right.
God can be contained by my dinky mind, mm-hmm. he's too small.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually, the older I get, the more I love the mystery. And the mystery of his mercy.
Yeah.
That even though there's lessons he's teaching me that feel almost exactly the same that they did 40 years ago. He is still kind. That slays me. His kindness has been what I've been stuck in lately. Just overwhelmed by it.
Really?
Yeah. We were in London last week.
Yeah, girl, get it. Put those headphones on.
Can
you hear us?
Cool, baby doll.
Okay.
You can't. Well, it's because you have them flipped wrong, baby. Come here and we'll put them on. Miss Annie sure is being sweet to you.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, we were in London.
Oh.
Can you hear us now, miss?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good.
Yes, ma'am.
There you go, girl.
We were at a church where 4.5 years ago, Hillsong London.
Yeah.
I didn't even know, Annie, that I had one particular layer of shame, and it was just about crushing me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the pastors there, he didn't speak to that specifically. We were just having a normal conversation.
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of miraculous conversations that nobody else would recognize what a big deal it was. And in that conversation, in an Italian restaurant downtown London, one evening in church, God just lifted this huge, huge burden of shame off my shoulders, and I just wept.
Yeah.
Well, here we are 4.5 years later, and I've got my 7-year-old kid who
right.
who would have dreamt I'd get to be a mom. I was so foolish in my 20s and 30s, totally missed, you know, the window of biological motherhood. And there I am with Missy 4.5 years later, same place of freedom. And I get to teach at the same church. And I ended up just walking through Hyde Park just weeping.
Just messed up,
over
I bet.
The goodness.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, the goodness, the kindness of God.
Yeah.
So that's I end up being stuck. And you see that everywhere. Colossians,
right.
even in Deuteronomy.
Right.
You see the kindness of God.
Yeah. So that's something I actually am writing. That's part of my new book. I think we've talked about
know,
a little
I'm
bit.
I'm very excited about your new book.
Oh, you're kind.
I'm not kind. I'm honest.
Yeah.
I'm so fired up about your new
oh,
book.
Oh, thanks. Yesterday I stopped at the grocery store after I wrote and bought marshmallows and ramen, if that just gives you a clue
yes,
of how
it
it's going.
Yes, it is.
I got home, my roommate said, I'll let you do that once.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't let you do that every day that you're working on this
well,
book.
You can't do it every day, but you can add the dark chocolate marshmallow things that
uh-huh.
are covered in dark chocolate grams, because then that adds a little bit of
yeah.
protein and
I just
and
was
some
driving from, I'd
it.
Written at a coffee shop for a couple hours, and it did not, you know how it goes, it did
yeah,
not go great.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
was hard, and I didn't know what was happening, and I thought, I got to the grocery store, and I was like, okay, there's a lot of things you don't need to do.
Yeah.
What are a couple of things that you can't, like, let's not turn to things.
Right.
We're not going to let things
right.
make us feel better.
Right.
We're not, but like, what's a small thing? I was like, one pack of ramen and the smallest bag of marshmallows you can buy and then go home.
Did you eat them together?
I mean, virtually, but
that
no.
That is an odd pairing.
No, I was cooking the ramen and popping the marshmallows
okay.
like they were potato chips. I
okay.
mean, it was not my proudest moment. But
they're mostly air.
That's right. That's what
okay,
I tell myself.
Okay, can you share
air
what you
sugar.
Were writing on?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell.
I mean, I know big picture, but like
sure.
what was it that kind of messed you up
what was it
yesterday?
That was so hard?
Yeah.
I was working on this portion of my story talking about what manna actually looks like and how
yeah.
and what God's provision actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
For me, kind of, it's the only the third chapter, so it's just setting up my
yeah.
baptism in Scotland.
Oh, wow.
Because I got baptized in Loch Ness when I was 28.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that cool? So I got sprinkled when I was a baby.
Sure.
But I didn't choose to be baptized until I was 28
right.
in Loch Ness. And so trying to, the thing that made it so hard was how do I get from here to there? I know that's the next place I'm going.
Yeah.
I don't know the bridge to get there. So.
But that, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That outward sign of the inward transformation and
right.
what steps God took you to. I would have been eating marshmallows too.
Right. Okay, good.
Well, because I think when you go to those significant moments in your own redemption story, you also have to see what drove you there.
Mm-hmm.
And what drove you there
that's
is
right.
always I need more.
Yeah.
And I can't make it by myself. And there's a sense of longing and even hopelessness that yep. drives you to the redemption of Jesus. So you can't look at a baptism without looking at the hard things that drove you to that baptism.
That's right. That's what it was. So yeah. so that drove me to marshmallows and ramen.
Well, but those are good things. See, it's getting better and better.
Sweet Eliza that you love that went with us to Haiti as well.
I love her.
I called her today and she said, well, I mean, at least you put like spinach or something in the ramen. I was like, you wish I put spinach in the ramen. It was me and the noodles and the chemicals and that's it.
But listen, every time I write a book, and you used to, I took it off. Now I'm so busy as a single mom, I don't take it off. But I would gain about 10 pounds because I run and I work out. And then when I'm writing, I'm just busting it, and yep. I write best at night.
Yeah.
And so I'll write a lot of times from like 10 p.m. to like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Right.
Well, then the next day starts, and it doesn't have any mercy over the fact that you wrote all
right,
night.
Right.
There's you
it
know,
did when you were when you didn't have a mama, right?
It did
or when you weren't a mama.
Yeah, when I didn't have a 7-year-old
yeah.
and didn't have homeschooling to do.
Right.
And, cars that broke down, and you know, mm-hmm. dogs that get sick on the carpet, and a million other things. Ugh. First world stuff.
Right.
Just totally first world stuff. But there was something about when I finished it, if it was good, I wanted to celebrate with carbs. And if
uh-huh.
it was really hard, I wanted to just kind of console myself with carbs.
That's right. That's the
so
exact
either
problem.
Way, it's like writing just, there's something about writing and eating the wrong things that went hand
How
in hand for
many
me.
Books have you written?
This is my 13th trade book. Yeah.
That is insane. But not even counting Bible studies.
Yeah.
How many counting Bible studies? Do you even know?
I think 17.
Okay.
I think 17.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, they aren't all very good.
Yes, they are.
Very mediocre.
Yes, they are. Who's on the cover of this book, Missy? Whose picture is that on the cover of that book?
Well, that's me and Mommy.
It is you and Mommy. That's exactly right.
It says happy.
It does say happy, the sacrament of happy. Okay, Lisa, did you know you wanted to write y'all's, this is y'all's story, the start of it.
It has a little bit of our story
yeah.
in there, the adoption process. No, I'll tell you how it started, Annie. I was with, this was about a year ago,
uh-huh.
and I was writing on something else, and I was writing on the orphan spirit, having orphan spirit, how
yeah.
Missy, most people would say she was an orphan, and I'm like, she doesn't have an orphan spirit. She has
yeah.
such a security. I had an orphan spirit.
Mm.
I had a dad and a stepdad, and I was writing on that, and it just wasn't coming. And Lisa Jackson,
yes,
you know,
we share our agent, yes,
is amazing. Lisa said, "Where are you right now?" And I said, "Lisa, I'm just in such a happy place. I'm in such a joyful place." And she said, "Why aren't you writing about that?" And I said, "Well, because it seems kind of trite." You know, I said, "You
right.
know, the world is in chaos, and you
yeah.
know, a lot of people aren't in happy seasons." And she said, "But have you been happy?" She asked something like, "Have you been happy even when you weren't happy?" Mm. And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, I have." And it made me start really digging into how we tend to emasculate the joy that God gives us, and it makes the gospel smaller than it is.
Sure.
And how happy is not based on happenstance. I've heard that my whole life.
Right.
I heard that joy was the spiritual emotion.
Right.
It's based on Jesus.
That's
yourself.
Right. That's what I've always heard too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And happy is considered superficial at best.
That's right.
Because it's based on happenstance, and that's actually not true theologically, biblically.
Oh, good.
This is one of those verses that slayed me.
Like
yeah. you're myrtle, not the turtle.
Yeah.
Verse. 1 Timothy 1:11, it's when Paul is telling young Tim,
mm-hmm.
here's your responsibility, here's your calling. And he said, you're called to share the glorious euangelion, the good news, the glorious good news of the, and then in Greek it's makairos, of the, most of our English Bibles translate it happy, but the literal word there is, blessed, the literal word there is happy. So your responsibility is share the good news of the happy God.
Wow.
And that just slayed me because I thought, oh, my goodness, I didn't know God described himself as happy.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
So it just made me start doing the study. And then kind of during that same time, I was like, am I allowed?
Yeah,
to write
am I
about
allowed
happiness?
To
is that
I know.
Just trashy? I was at a dinner with some friends, and Sheila Walsh and I were telling this story.
Who's hilarious.
Hilarious.
I love her. And her Scottish accent.
Which makes everything better.
Right.
Like, you could read the phone book and
that's
I'd
right.
learn more about Jesus. She and I were at this. It was hilarious, Annie. It was supposed to be a red carpet event we've been
mm-hmm.
asked to go to walk the red carpet for a Christian movie premiere. And it ended up being at a strip mall movie theater, and you know, it was indoor-outdoor. Sure. It was hilarious. Well, it had rained really hard the night before, and where we got out of the car was next to a median, this grassy median, where her heels stuck in the mud, and she got stuck. And I'm in the back of her husband's sports car, so I can't get out of the car. And I'm trying to come to her aid. I finally get out of his car. And when I did, my boots got stuck in the mud. I end up falling on top of Sheila.
No.
She's wearing this gold, amazing, like, I don't know, leather, you know, incredible suit. I fall on top of her. And we're laughing so hard we can't get leverage.
Oh, sure.
We're in the mud at this really cheesy.
Like, y'all are on the ground in the mud.
On the ground in the mud. But what makes it even worse is after like 30 seconds, and you, Sheila's a tad more petite than I am, I hear underneath me, I'm peeing in the Scottish accent. And it just ended up being, I mean, it was such a comedy of errors.
Oh,
and then she had
hilarious.
To be interviewed live on TBN. Well, I'm howling.
Oh,
she's
sure.
like, does it show? Can you tell I've wet myself? I'm like, you can. You actually really can.
You really can.
So it was hilarious. Well, we were telling that story, and it got all these other people at the dinner party to tell their funny stories.
Yeah, sure.
And the girl sitting next to me said, I will never forget it. She kind of leaned back in her chair because we all love Jesus. We're all a little bit older.
Sure.
So it was like the sweet, nostalgic moment. And then she leaned back and she said, those were happy times, weren't they? You know, as if happiness was this fleeting thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, why is it we tend to talk about happiness in the past tense as if those days when we had no cares, or the present tense, like one day when all this difficulty is over, we'll be happy again. And I thought, you know, if God describes himself as happy, we're his image bearers. What is the theology of happy? What really is biblical happy?
Yeah.
And the more I delved into it in scripture, the more I realized, oh, dang dog it. It is not superficial. It's a sacrament.
Right.
It's a calling.
Right.
So anyway, that's how this book came out. And it is, I'm not a great writer. So regardless, y'all, of what Annie says, she's exaggerating wildly. But it is my favorite book I've ever written.
Really?
It really is. It was one of those that I actually didn't eat much ramen and marshmallows because
just
it was just,
loved it.
It was a joy.
Yeah.
It was an absolute joy. It wasn't,
I love it.
It was more love than it was labor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you decide to put you and Missy on the cover?
Because they were talking about happy images, and one of the girls had seen that picture of Missy and I, and I thought, you know, our story is woven through kind of the theology of happy, and it just, that picture makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
They did Photoshop my stomach just a little bit, and that made me happy as well.
Hey, listen, I'll take that too. I can't tell you how many times I've sent back a headshot and been like, I love that. If you can just unroll me. If you'll just take a little brush and unroll me,
I will
use that picture all day long.
I want to look like myself. Like, I don't want to look like, you know, a totally different person. But I just want to look like my best self.
The best self.
Yeah.
I want to look like myself in my wildest dreams. That's who I want to look like.
Yeah, me too.
I know. I just
me
did
too.
New headshots last week. And one of the things I said on Instagram stories, I was like, you cannot compare yourself to these pictures.
No.
I literally cannot compare myself to the
you
finished
can't.
Product because that takes six people and a computer.
Yeah, isn't it hilarious when you go to an event and the person meeting you at the bag claim who's never met you before looks at you and then looks confused? Like, they gave me your headshot, but you don't look exactly like this.
Right.
I always want to go, I'm so sorry, baby. That's called Photoshop.
Yeah. Listen, don't go back of the book. Look
right.
at my Instagram.
That's right.
My Instagram
That's
will
exactly
show you the trueness.
Right. That's right.
To this. Okay, so this book, The Sacrament of Happy, would you say, is this a women's book or a women and men? Or who do you want to read it?
It's one of the first books I've written that is not just estrogen heavy. So it is more to both men and women. And so, it's kind of applicable. I'd say 12 and over.
Yeah.
You know.
Men or women.
All
I love
the way
it.
Up. So
I
from
like
belly rings to bladder
getting,
control problems.
That's right. I love us getting, as women writers, getting to write books that men can pick up and will pick up.
Well, you know, that's some of the shame that was that God really spoke to about 4.5 years ago was what happened was this pastor just looked at me and asked me a question. I think we were talking about the wisdom books.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Nalisa, when you exegete this, what is your, like, he asked me a question as a peer.
Yeah.
And I was so taken aback by that because I am conservative theologically and the culture I've been in largely in America has been, if you have ovaries, you're a little less than as far as your function in Christendom. And I am not strident. I'm not a feminist. Mm-hmm. You don't want me to burn my bra, believe me. But that part of me that felt like my value was second to a man's, especially in ministry leadership, It took a long time to believe I have something to say that maybe, and we all do, all of us. Revelation 12, you tell your story and the enemy is defeated. It doesn't say if you're a girl, just tell your story to girls.
That's right.
But it took me a long time. You're a lot further along down the road than I was.
I don't know about that. Oh, yeah. You know, I had a friend tell me just the other day, she is coming around to, she doesn't write books, she doesn't have any desire to do any of this, but she went into an empty church. And she walked up, this will make me cry telling you this, she walked up to the pulpit and said, we are all priests and I'm going to tell my story. And the church was empty. And she just did it.
That's beautiful.
Right? And
that's
she was
incredible.
Like, I needed to do that for me.
That's
I
right.
needed to say that I am a priest
right.
under Christ and
right.
I have a voice and my story matters.
That's right.
And so she just walked into an empty church and preached.
That's incredible.
And I
that's
was like,
incredible.
That will preach.
Oh, I love that. Like, it absolutely will. I mean, I thought, I don't know. I guess it was the plane coming back recently from London or somewhere. I don't watch a whole lot of television.
Mm-hmm.
Just not
don't have
for
time.
Moral reasons, exactly. Well,
and
I'd rather read a book or be outside with Missy or something. But I saw, because I was watching, because
sure.
it was such a long flight, I kept seeing, I think it was a Dove commercial, you know, where I thought it shows women of all shapes and sizes. And basically it's that same, I don't remember the advertising slogan, but it's basically you matter, your voice matters.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, it's interesting when Dove is doing a better job than the church of instilling value
right.
in young women, and of course young men too, but this was geared toward women. And when you say that, I thought, Missy, I've taught her to go, we live on a hill, you know, in the boonies, in the middle of nowhere. She stands at the back of our hill, and then there's just cows below her, you can see for 9 miles. But she either sings or says what she feels. And, you know, the other day, she's just standing out there only in a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
So no shirt. So we're kind of exhibitionists because we live in the boonies. But, you know, she's just free as can be. And she just starts bellowing a worship song at the top of her lungs with her hands raised. And I thought, I wasn't that free.
Yeah.
And I want to be now, but I absolutely will be for her.
That's right.
I don't want her to wear any of the shame or anything that God didn't give us as responsibility. I don't want her to wear things that are too heavy that God didn't give us to wear.
Yeah, that must be interesting, raising a young woman publicly a little bit. I mean, not fully publicly. A lot of the world, a lot of your world people don't see, but people know Missy. I mean, I'm sure people recognize her in airports and recognize her at events. And that's got to be interesting to be raising her in a way that she's really known. Is that?
Yeah, I had a woman recently. I had said something on Instagram about her. We had a had a phenomenal visit. We have quarterly visits for her HIV with an infectious disease doc at Vandy here in Nashville, and we had the best. Best
Amazing.
Blood work we've had since I brought her home from Haiti 3 years ago. And so her HIV is truly undetectable. They can find no sign of it in her body. It's only Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And great meds by the grace of God, but great doctors. Anyway, I had somebody really kind of eviscerate me on social media and said, you should not share that publicly. And I thought, okay, first of all, you know, people on social media, I mean, it can be a great platform,
totally.
But that's not real relationship.
They
don't know your life.
Right.
And what this woman didn't know is that people already knew about her HIV status long before I started the adoption process. So it would have been impossible to put that cat back in the bag. But I thought the bigger issue there is I am not going to tell my child she has to carry a secret for the rest of her life. Her mama didn't know she had AIDS, much less that she was transmitting HIV to her baby. And so Missy didn't cause her HIV. I am not going to say, honey, shh, don't tell anybody about this.
Right.
Because to take the stigma away from that, you have to say, look at what God has done.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, we may get, and I've been to counselors about that, talked to professionals about that. It's a very personal decision.
Yeah.
But she may at 13 go, hey, mama, I really don't want to share my CD4 count with anybody anymore. Let's keep that private. And I'll go, cool, baby, that's your decision.
Yeah.
But right now, Annie, there have been, well, multiple, I don't know exactly how many, but multiple kids who have HIV who have been adopted as a direct result of people hearing Missy's
story. Hearing Missy's story.
It's just a few people have heard the story, shared it with a few others, and people who are going, wow, I hadn't considered adopting a child with HIV because I thought that was a fatal disease.
Mm-hmm.
But after hearing your story and seeing how healthy she is and that her life expectancy is the same as a child who's healthy and seeing the hope, we went ahead and adopted a child with HIV from Uganda or from Haiti or from wherever, from China. And so I think, man, a couple of kids will now have full life because we chose to go, this is not something we're going to live under. I will not have her walk under shame.
Yeah.
That that isn't her fault. And so we've chosen to say, this is a testimony. This isn't a confession. This
right.
is a testimony.
Right, right, right. We don't confess on the internet. Right? We just tell, right? Right?
Yes. What did the doctor tell you your HIV was at Vanderbilt last week?
Undetectable, yes.
Yes. Undetectable, yes.
Yes.
Undetectable, yes.
And you're healthy as a horse, right?
Yes, Mama.
And you have gorgeous abs.
I know. You have good muscles.
Does Mama have good muscles in her belly?
No. Say, hey, Missy, ma'am. Tell me about your mama.
Well, she's so beautiful. I mean, she's so beautiful.
She is. What else? What's your favorite thing about spending time with your mom?
Well, I like her because she's playing with me sometimes.
Yeah?
And that's why I like her sometimes.
What's your favorite thing in an airport to do with your mama?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I laugh at the airport. And sometimes I sit on one airplane.
Yeah.
And go to Florida or somewhere else. Far away.
Yeah.
Or London or anything else.
Anywhere. You can go anywhere you want, sis.
Yes, ma'am.
You like to dance in airports, don't you?
I do like to dance in airports.
And what do you love to eat at McDonald's? This is one of my favorite things about you.
Trashy food.
Trashy food. Yes, ma'am. Is it sausage biscuits you like so much?
Yes, ma'am. And house buns and orange juice.
Oh, yeah. A whole breakfast.
Yes, ma'am. Do you like them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like my biscuit. I like bacon and egg.
Oh.
Yeah. You
That's
like that?
That's what I like, too.
Yeah, girl. We should do that. We should trashy breakfast together more often.
Yes,
Say we
ma'am.
Will.
Okay,
we
so
will.
We do one final question that I want both of you to answer.
Okay.
Okay? So, Missy, you got to answer this question first. What sounds fun to you right now? What would be, if you could do anything, what sounds fun?
Having fun with my mommy.
That's it. That's the number one thing.
And going to the airport all day.
That's worked out good for you, Lisa.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If fun is being with mama and going to the airport.
I would say what sounds like fun to me is what we're going to. Well, first of all, this has been fun, being with Miss Annie, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I love being
with
you guys,
too. I get to,
too.
Right after this, Annie, we're jumping in the car and we're road tripping to Atlanta.
Okay.
And we have the new Hillsong Young and Free record. And so
good, I've heard.
I promised her we will get ice cream and we will get all kinds of treats.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we don't have anywhere we have to be until tomorrow morning in Atlanta.
Oh, good.
So we're just putzing.
Yeah.
We may stop at some trashy store. We may get some rock candy. We may get, I don't know, gross
t-shirts.
You may
t-shirts. See Rock City.
Yeah, we may see Rock City. So we're road tripping today, and it's going to be a blast, huh?
It is going to be a blast.
And we'll do some car dancing.
Oh, sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Of course.
Like this.
Oh, yeah, girl. Get it. Get it. Are y'all going to Atlanta for you to speak?
We are.
Okay.
We are. We're going to Dr. Stanley's In Touch Ministries.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. You know, he was a hero when I was younger.
Well,
so it's
still is,
cool.
Right? I mean, it is. When you look at what the Stanleys have done for Atlanta and
the
world, really,
the world,
but for
yeah.
Atlanta is just incredible.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, I'll do something stupid. Every time I'm around, like, my spiritual heroes. I told you last time I followed Ravi Zacharias.
Yes.
I was in the green room thinking, I just can't believe this is so holy. And I started spraying my hair. And I thought, this is unbelievable. It actually smells like a forest in here.
Yeah.
He's so holy. I sprayed my hair with Glade Pine.
In front of him.
Oh, no. Right after him, and just had the shellacked Glade helmet of hair. So I'll do something stupid
that's
tomorrow.
That's excellent.
Yeah, you know, you can't ever believe your press release.
I know. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had Stephen Curtis Chapman on the podcast sitting
in
that chair.
I saw.
And I was the same way. I was like, well, now I'm crying.
Were
and
you nervous?
Yeah, I've met him before, but never in a never in an atmosphere where he was Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was I something we have to do here in Nashville is kind of disassociate people from what they do.
Yeah.
If you want to be friends with anybody.
Yeah.
And so you kind of, when I'd first met him, I kind of went, okay, Stephen Curtis Chapman, that's cool. And in this environment, it was, no, I need you to know what you've met.
And he's the kindest man.
The kindest.
I was with Max this weekend, Lucado.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, same
thing. Do you have
time
to tell that story real quick? Because I thought it was real interesting. On Instagram, you said what a big deal it was to do his church on Mother's Day.
Yeah. Huge deal. Well, I mean, the biggest deal is that I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Didn't deserve it. So purely God's grace, you know, became a mom at 50. Senior year, I went through menopause, so it was a little double blessing. But yeah, to get to to be to tell the story of how redemptive God is in Max Lucado's church on Mother's Day. You know, you just go, only God. I mean, it's almost comical, the trajectory of my life, because what he's doing is so much bigger than my dreams. So it was just more, I've learned so much from him. He was my, you know, faraway pastor. And we've been, he's so gracious. He'll say, Lisa and I've been friends for a long time. And I'm like, well, if you call somebody who, you know, whose neck turns splotchy when you walk in the room a friend, I guess that's
yes,
using the word
me.
Term pretty loosely. I don't idolize him. I have deep, deep, deep respect for him.
Sure.
And he's even kinder in person than he is in his books. But to get to be there, you know how, Annie, same thing. You just look at your life and go, only God.
Only God.
God's kindness.
Only
and then
God.
I go back to 1 Corinthians. He uses the weak and the foolish, you know, to illustrate his power and his goodness. So I'm like, I'm so grateful he uses donkeys and rocks.
Right. You and me both. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It just makes me like go, can we please just hang
out
every day?
As soon as we're done with this, we're going to pick a tie.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Missy, thank you for being on the podcast.
You're
Thanks so much to Lisa and to Missy, who is the dearest, most adorable child in the world. I mean, did you just fall in love with her? Undetectable, yes, right? Oh, I just think she's the greatest. And I just want to remind you that every copy of The Sacrament of Happy also donates towards the Happy Grove in Nepali, Haiti, towards that garden. So buy a copy, buy some friends' copies. Think Christmas. There's never too early. Do you have like a little place where you store Christmas gifts before you buy them? My mom has a closet. I have a box. I have a place and I label it because listen, you know that you buy a book for somebody and you forget who you bought it for and it sits in that box. Listen, get a big Tupperware from Target. Start buying gifts now. Spread out the finances so that you can buy gifts. Go ahead and think about people because not only are you giving them a new book, you're helping plant this beautiful 5-acre garden in Haiti to help provide for the village of Nepali that I, as much as they gave me a parasite and I was not prepared not to dry my hair, I did really love the people and hope to go back someday. Hey, just a reminder that we have got the That Sounds Fun weekend coming up in just about 6 weeks, the last weekend of July, July 28th through 30th. We would love for you to come to Nashville, hang with us, join us, Dave Barnes, Kelly Bannon, Eddie Koffoltz, Christy Knuckles. It is going to be incredibly, incredibly fun, and I think you're going to love it. So you can read more at my website, anniefdowns.com. Just click on the That Sounds Fun weekend banner. Hey, if you enjoyed this conversation with Lisa, I bet you would love backing up a couple weeks and hearing my conversation with Andrea Lucado about her new book. We also have Angie Smith, Jessica Turner, Rebecca Lyons, so many people back in the histories of That Sounds Fun that are female authors that I think you would really enjoy. And also, of course, the Stephen Curtis Chapman episode that released in the middle of May. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Hey, if you need to find me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. It's Annie F. Downs, F as in fancy, across every corner of the internet, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you need to find me. I am Annie F. Downs. And they are headed to Atlanta. Lisa and Missy are going to have a good time driving to Atlanta. I am headed to renew the tags on my car. Listen, you guys, I'm not even going to tell you how expired they are. You know how much I travel. You know how very little I've been in Nashville this spring. And you may actually work for the law enforcement, so I'm not going to tell you how expired my tags are. But believe me, it is long overdue. And here at the Weld Studio, where we record the podcast with Chad, it is right next to where you get your emissions tested. So you know what sounds fun to me? Not getting arrested or getting a ticket or getting pulled over for my tag being expired. So I'm headed straight to the emissions place. So I hope you have a great day. Thank you for joining us. I have the best time hanging out here with you, and I hope you enjoyed as well. And I hope today you will go and do something that sounds fun to you. Have a great day, and we will see you next week.